Following is a recording from Maria Verona from iAdvise on Friday, February 24th, 2017, at 10:01 a.m. Central. This is the Megacable Fourth Quarter 2016 conference call. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Megacable conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Please note this call is being recorded. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the conference over to Kenya Vargas of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome to Megacable's Fourth Quarter 2016 conference call. At this time, I would like to introduce the team for Megacable, Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, CEO, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Setter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be discussing the quarterly results before taking questions from the audience. Please note that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions. For a complete disclaimer, we ask that you refer to the quarterly release that was issued yesterday. If you didn't receive the information and would like to be added to the Megacable mailing list, please contact us in New York at 212-406-3696. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin his presentation. Sir, please go ahead.
Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us today as we review Megacable's fourth quarter and 2016 results. The year ended in a very good manner for the company and paved the way for continued growth in 2017. Despite somewhat of a challenging economy and the existing exchange rate volatility. In the residential market, Megacable posted double-digit growth of 15% RGUs year over year, totaling approximately 6.4 million units at the end of 2016, or 1.93 RGUs per unique subscriber. Both telephony and broadband continued to provide very high growth. Telephony alone posted record numbers for the second consecutive quarter, way above market expectations. Video remains stable due to the higher penetration we have. This product is more affected by the economy slowdown and changes in the programming lineup and has an impact as well. As you are aware, during this quarter, we dropped Televisa channels, which briefly impacted our number of subscribers, but proved to be the right decision for the company as savings surpassed by far revenue loss and improved our margins. Metrocarrier, Ola, and MTN, our enterprise business units, represented 21% of total company revenue and a growth of 31% year over year. Our diversification strategy has been a great success since it takes advantage also of our existing network and makes our capital more productive. The 54,000 last mile kilometers plus 26,000 interurban fiber experienced human results in advanced technology are some of our major strengths. EBITDA grew 18% year over year to reach 6,891,000,000 pesos, with one of the stronger EBITDA margins in the industry, despite stronger effort in net adds and depreciation of the Mexican peso that affected OPEX and CAPEX of the company. Net debt is 0.36 times EBITDA, validating the strength of the financial structure and our ability to face competition and take advantage of future opportunities in the market. Megacable reached its annual guidance in terms of projected revenue, EBITDA, and margins. This again reinforced the commitment of the company, its employees, and the board to deliver the shareholders and the market expectations. We expect 2017 will represent challenges as well as opportunities for Megacable. The economic slowdown that we have been experiencing since mid-last year will continue to affect our growth during the first quarter of this year, specifically on the video segment. However, broadband penetration will continue to drive growth across the year, while telephony will continue to grow along with broadband. CapEx to revenue ratio was 29%, which provided us with the network required to offer the best speeds and capacity in the market. As such, Megacable raised the basic subscriber speed from 10 to 20 megabits ahead of our competition. We will very soon launch across almost all our markets our XView video product to comply with the new manners of watching television in every device and would allow our video subscribers to get the most out of the content we deliver. With the best video experience, the higher speed, reliable service in broadband, and a phone service that offers unlimited calls to Mexico, the U.S., and Canada, and the possibility to enable the mobile device as the fixed phone and use it in any wireless network, Wi-Fi, or cellular, our offer is extremely competitive and creates a lot of value to our subscribers and the market in general. Enterprise being a much more solid operation will also provide great results. So in this 2017, with all its challenges, we are very excited and we are quite sure that we will provide great results for everyone. Now for the operational and in-depth financial results, I will turn the call over to my colleagues, Raimundo and Luis. Please go ahead, Raimundo.
Thank you, Enrique, and welcome everyone. Regarding residential results during fourth quarter, we reached 6.4 million RUs with 15% growth year over year. The extraordinary results in broadband and telephony being the main reason for that, while video continued to grow, telephony grew 31%, broadband 22%, and video 5%. The number of internet subscribers continues to rise, reaching more than 2.2 million subscribers with net adds of 112,000 subscribers and a 5% increase for the quarter, with nearly 400,000 net adds year over year for a 21% increase. At this point, Megacable is growing at a faster pace than the market as a result of great service quality caused by the high performance of the network and a good product offer. During this quarter, we continue to migrate subscribers to 20 megabits, way ahead of what we consider a standard competition offer. The bandwidth demand has been well satisfied by the investment and upgrades done to the network. Telephony saw a strong growth with 117,000 net adds for the quarter, reflecting an 11% increase and an historic growth of 280,000 or 31% year over year, reaching 1.2 million telephony subscribers. From that, 95% of the growth achieved in 2016 came from the last two quarters, proving that our marketing strategy to bundle telephony with broadband on top of video and product quality is a key factor for the success. Both internet and telephone segments growing higher than the market. In video, the number of subscribers rose 5% or 137,000 year over year. However, there was a subscriber decline in the fourth quarter 2016 caused by the slowdown of the economy, selective targeted campaign, and the changes in programming. Churn rate increased to 3.8% with a peak in October and a reduction as we approach the end of December. We believe the effect of the channel substitution has ended since we experienced subscriber growth at the end of the quarter with a positive acceptance from the new channels we provide today. The effects of the substitution in our cost and the increasing margin related to it is by far more beneficial than the increasing churn during October and November. So again, it proved to be a right decision. However, the economy slowdown that affects the disposable income of the social economic levels for our pay TV subscribers will continue to impact during the first quarter. That is why we have adjusted our product offer, implemented more selective campaigns, and focus on customer retention. Our video market share and penetration is the highest among the three products, therefore has been more affected. Regarding new technology implementations, we are getting very close to the launch of the next generation video, like Enrique said. This is a very exciting project for Megacable, and we are confident that our existing customers and the overall market will adopt it and respond positively to the launch. Customers will be able to experience a completely new look and feel and a more user-friendly interface when consuming video in a non-linear manner across multi-platforms. The idea of this new service is to upgrade our digital subscribers to the new NGV using our current network and set-top boxes, therefore maximizing CapEx investments. also implies a transformation and an upgrade for our OTT service. Our existing friendly user test has shown a high level of acceptance and satisfaction of the new product. We are ready to go. In terms of GPON, Mega Cable has reached mature levels of technology deployment following the successful implementation of this solution throughout several markets, coexisting with our DOCSIS network, and successfully delivering a new class of service. A strategic and upgraded areas already provide service through this technology. In line with our growth strategy, we are creating new capacity in our hybrid fiber quad network. Work has begun towards creating new capacity by segmenting our fiber nodes to have smaller and smaller service groups. As we mentioned in the previous quarter, we are very committed to node segmentation in order to enable a very service reliable and capacity-enabled node to support future bandwidth requirements. Our network can provide first-class services and support the growth of broadband and video for the years to come. As of today, practically all our network is bidirectional and above 750 MHz, with the vast majority at 1 GHz. We built 2.8 thousand new kilometers, reaching 54,000 total kilometers of last mile, covering 7.9 million home paths, of which 87% are also fully digital. Our corporate segment continues to succeed with outstanding growth. MetroCarrier increased revenue 36% year over year, and OLA 21% in the same period. We are committed to become a strong player in the telecommunication enterprise business, reopening also our Mexico City offices and expand our presence to cities like Merida, Monterrey, and Cancun, and planning other main cities in the near future. Since the company decided to be a major player in the corporate business in 2012, when revenues were around 500 million pesos, we have achieved more than 3.1 billion as of today, a 55% compound annual growth rate in the corporate segment. Now we are a very strong player. In summary, there is a clear path ahead for Megacable in terms of our goals and our position for 2017 year end. The bottom line is clear. Our commitment to work across all the business segments to ensure that they remain cost effective, to remain a highly efficient and profitable company, growing above the market and above competition as we have done in the past. This year comes with a new set of challenges for our business, whether it is more competition, growth constraints, or economic challenges, we are well prepared. Thank you again for your attention. At this point, Luis will take you through the financial highlights. Please go ahead, Luis.
Thank you, Raimundo. Good morning, everybody. As we saw in the results, Megacable posted a strong performance during 2016, with a 13% growth in consolidated revenues from fourth quarter 2015, reaching 4.5 billion pesos for the quarter and 17 billion pesos or 16% growth for the year. As Enrique mentioned, the corporate segment continues to have an outstanding performance, contributing with 21% of total revenues in the quarter. Megacable achieved a 16% growth in consolidated EBITDA from fourth quarter 15 to fourth quarter 16, or 1.8 billion pesos, to reach 18% growth or 6.9 billion pesos for the year. This was achieved because of cost of services and our SG&A grew 15% versus the 16% growth in revenue. It is important to mention that a portion of this efficiency came from programming costs, savings, and also on greater operational efficiency due to the lower operation, meaning reduction in sales commissions, drop costs, etc. All these despite the currency volatility and a very competitive landscape. Megacable reported net profit of 996 million pesos in line quarter over quarter and 15% increase year over year. Megacable's net debt reached 2,490 million pesos, with debt related to the CFE project at about 900 million pesos. This positions Megacable at a ratio of 0.36 times EBITDA, which remains one of the lowest leverage levels for the industry. At the same time, EBITDA to interest coverage was 35.6 times at the end of this period. It is important to mention that most of Megacable's debt is peso denominated, and a high percentage of the U.S. dollar debt is a back-to-back from the CFE project. Additionally, for 2017, we are negotiating mutually beneficial conditions with suppliers in order to reduce foreign exchange exposure while at the same time increase certainty on investments for the whole year. With regards to CapEx, during the fourth quarter, Megacable invested 1,652 million pesos for a total of 4,901 million pesos at the end of the year. Most of these resources were allocated toward the purchase of terminal subscriber equipment, that's 45% of that, growth and modernization of the cable network and the purchase of fixed assets for around 42%, and during the fourth quarter. Always, the goal is to strengthen competitive and customer experience with a strategic CapEx investments. Megacable is an industrial partner with Altán Redes for the Red Compartida project to use the 700 MHz band spectrum in Mexico. We are confident this will bring great opportunities for us in the future. Finally, our guidance for 2017, we expect video subscribers to grow around 8%, broadband to increase around 17%, and telephony between 20 to 21% in 2017. In terms of RGUs, we expect to reach close or above 13% growth. In terms of revenues, we are targeting around 19 billion pesos or a 13% increase, and EBITDA in boundaries of the 8 billion pesos or a 16% increase as well. The consolidated EBITDA margin, we are targeting around 42% for 2017. Thank you. And I conclude my comments. At this time, I will ask the operator to open the line for your questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Thank you. We now have our first question coming from Tyler Bookman from Park West.
Could you repeat those guidance numbers for subscribers? I actually just missed them.
Sure, no problem. Okay, our guidance in terms of subscribers, we expect to grow in video of around 8%, broadband subscribers around 17%, and telephony between 20 and 21% growth.
Great. And did you guys talk about ARPU?
The ARPUs really will remain a little bit slightly going up. Compared to the fourth quarter, it will be very close to that. Maybe a slight reduction on the ones on cables by on an average for the year, but basically will be really slightly going up, especially on the unique subscriber ARPU.
Yeah, unique subscriber ARPU.
It'll be down. How can it be down against the fourth quarter, but up for the year against the entire year?
Right. We finished the video ARPU for the quarter was 214, and for the year was 217. So it went down a little bit. So we think. Sorry, it's going up slightly. Yeah, so it's going to go up slightly.
Against the fourth quarter, you mean?
Yes.
You can count, Tyra, that video will remain pretty much the same as well as broadband. We're targeting the same ARPU because of the launch of the new service that will compensate the growth with lower packages that we have. And the only one that we are lowering a little bit, slightly 2-3 pesos or something like that, will be telephony, because we are very aggressive in the campaign, and that will support the 21% growth in subscribers that we are forecasting. At the end, unique subscribers will have a slight increase to what we have right now.
Got it. And did you guys talk about CapEx?
We didn't mention about CapEx, but our guidance for this year, of course, is going to be lower than what we invested this year. This year we reached $263 million for the year, but we are going to be close to $240
million.
$240 million.
Which is going to be about 25% of total revenues.
Right. Between 24 and 25.
About four percentage points lower than this year.
Yeah. And how much has that been impacted by the depreciation of the peso? Because I think previously you guys have talked about getting down to 20 in the next few years. And I'm just wondering how...
If you go back to 3 years ago, 2 years ago, we were around 23%, 22%. Basically, the depreciation of peso has been around 30% in the last couple of years. And that is why we have gone all the way up to 29% investment in 2016. But we have already finished large projects that took about 2 years to be completed. So we are very happy that we will be able to reduce CapEx, but not affecting the areas of growth. So subscriber equipment, we will invest as much as needed to be sure that we do not stop any growth opportunities.
Like Luis mentioned before, 45% of our CapEx goes toward CPE equipment, and 45% towards upgrade of the network in general, 10% being others. We did a very strong effort in the last year to upgrade the network. Operated areas below 750 megahertz has already been upgraded to GPON. I said that in my remarks before. So right now we have all the network at 1 gigabit, which is affordable for the bandwidth. We need to improve speeds from 10 to 20 or 20 to above if we need. And we're improving and splitting nodes. So the CapEx that we have for that 240 will certainly support the growth that we're forecasting at 8, 17, and 21% subscriber growth that we have. I'm being really competitive in that part. We also negotiate with all the vendors to compensate for the effect of the depreciation of the peso, and we have a very good response of everyone, and that's how we are able not to slow down investments, but to keep the CapEx to revenue ratio, like Enrique mentioned, lower than what we have in the past, so improving our financial margins in general.
Got it. And one last question. Over the next few years, do you see CapEx going down in absolute U.S. dollars?
Well, yes, we see that going down in the next 3 to 4 years. We will see the CapEx going down in U.S. dollar terms, more than the $23 million that we expect to produce this year. We expect that to go down in the following 3 to 4 years.
If that continues this trajectory, then you're going to get to a pretty good CapEx as a percent of EBITDA ratio.
The percentage of the EBITDA ratio, it should go down, but maybe in absolute terms it won't, but as the company grows...
As a percentage.
As the company grows and we and the company gets to a level of maturity, obviously our CapEx will slow its pace going up. And we expect to get to the levels of any other European or U.S. company with the levels of capital that they have, maybe below the 20s. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alejandro Gallostra from BBVA.
Hi, good morning, Enrique, Raimundo, and Luis. Thank you very much for the call. Raimundo, you provided a detailed breakdown of the CapEx. However, I was wondering how much of that goes specifically to network expansion?
Just one clarification. CapEx for us means anything that improves the performance of the company. So it means expansion of network, new CPE equipment to add subscribers, any upgrades that we do to the network to provide better bandwidth, more channels, things like that. We don't include in our CapEx any maintenance of the network. Maintenance of the network goes right to OpEx. But Raimundo, can you please give them a general breakdown of the CapEx?
Yes, Alejandro. From the like I said, in rough numbers, 45% goes to CPE, 45% goes to operate of the network, improving the network and increasing the number of kilometers. This year we built 24,000 kilometers, and that will account for around 12% of the CapEx set for the network. So most of the CapEx that we have is not going to expansion on other areas for growth, but it goes to upgrades of the existing plants so we can provide a right platform for the future. Like I said, we put money, we upgraded from 550 that we have in small towns and areas to GPON, straight to GPON, because it was the best cost-effective way to improve speed and go to the next level of generation in terms of bandwidth. But the rest of the HFC network that we have, we were very, very happy to tell you that we decreased the number of home pass per node so we can provide 20 and 50 megabits. And I can tell you that right now, none of our nodes has any kind of pressure in terms of bandwidth, but also that we're able for 2017 to be really more aggressive in terms of marketing and provide customer retention for broadband. That's been the network has been the main driver for the great performance of broadband. So CapEx goes to that, goes to growth. And like Enrique said, for the next 5 years, we expect CapEx to decrease in terms of revenue because the set-top boxes, CPEs, and equipment we're setting can provide not only 20, but also 50 to 100 megabits on the home. So we will need to improve and increase the CPE in terms of the broadband. And also the set-top boxes that we have, we are upgrading the NGV product, the next generation video product, with the existing platform of set-top boxes that we have in the majority of the market. So we always care a lot to get the best of the CapEx that we have without putting in risk or compromising the future of the network. That's why I talk so much about the network. I don't know if that answered your question, Alejandro.
That was a great explanation, indeed. But I was just trying to have a feeling of your expansion plans. Of your expansion plans, if you're still interested in expanding your network, and if you still see value in doing that going forward, if you still plan to expand your network at the same pace or similar pace in the coming years.
What we're doing in expansion, we kept in the systems where we have residential services, we kept the growth of the population in general. We don't miss any spot of the cities where we are. In terms of corporate, that's different. We are going to other cities. We increase our presence in fiber metro ring of Mexico City, Monterrey. We already have presence, and we're lighting presence in the southeast part of Mexico, that's Mérida and Cancun. And we have plans for other cities.
because that's the one that makes the most economic sense for us right now. MetroCarrier and Ola are a great partners all together with MCM in Mexico. So as you saw in our numbers, we're getting the best growth coming from corporate, and we're determined. And that one doesn't take as much capex as, you know, as all the last mile of residential in those areas. So we will increase expansion, but mostly on the corporate business, not that much on the residential.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Raimundo. And could you perhaps give us more additional color on the specific benefits that you get from expanding your network? And I mean, for example, I know if it would be possible to quantify how much increasing your network helps you increase the top line or increase the customer base, usually rough terms.
Well, in terms of customer base, increasing the network for the corporate business, that's a complete different segment. You know, that one on MetroCarrier, and that we don't count subscribers, we count what we call the funnel, and what we count the revenues to be generated in the future. We go by pesos and dollars, and not that much about subscribers. In terms of growth of the residential, as we said, we have the guideline for 2017 that includes the expansion of the network, and that will account for 8%. We expect, you know, even though we're facing a tough economy, we're going to be much more aggressive in terms of retention of the customer. We're focused on that part. We suffer on the fourth quarter because of the reasons we told you. And the campaigns that we're saying on the market, we expect that to pay off by the second quarter, third and fourth quarter of this year. So it's going to be a ramp up of subscribers to get that 8% at the end of the year. So it looks good in terms of subscribers in video. I won't say any more about broadband and telephony, because telephony for us, we're very proud in the last two quarters, you know, that we have about 90% of the growth of last year came from the last two quarters, with a historic growth of telephony in a market that is not growing. We're growing at 31% telephony over our existing subscribers, reaching 1.2, and broadband 2.2. So we're very happy that it's going to look like a great 2017, including expansion and organic growth.
Great explanation. Thank you. My last question is the following. If you had to prioritize your growth strategy for the next 2 to 5 years, would you rather focus on growing your retail business, or you would prefer to grow in the government and enterprise and perhaps IT businesses?
Well, right now we're focused to grow both. And we will take advantage of market opportunities that we have. We won't stop doing anything that we need to grow where we see business like we did in the past. And of course, you can expect both corporate and residential to continue to grow. We'll see opportunities. We saw opportunities in Monterrey, Cancun, Ciudad Juarez, where we were, and we have offices and we have some presence before. That's why we liked Juarez before we liked Tijuana, for example. We have also businesses through the contract that we have for Mexico Conectado that help us to increase our network in other parts. That's how we run the business. We look at opportunities and we see into the future. And you can bet we continue to provide that. All our MetroCarrier and MTM are pairing together way faster than we thought that. So you will see the growth of the company with the projections you have and the guideline that we have. We will match that.
Thank you. That growth would only come through organic growth, or you would also consider going to M&A?
M&A. So, as I said, Alejandro, you know, the market right now is we had the Trump effect, we have the dollar, we have the telecommunication industry looking. We're always open. I believe that right now we're in the best position for any business opportunity that might be arise on the market. We're not close to anything. We're open to any growth that we can have in that part, and we feel we're in the best position. We don't have anything to announce right now in terms of M&A. We're focused into recovering the growth that we have in video and match the guideline that we're telling you, but also to maintain the great numbers that we're providing. You know, if we see something, you can bet that we're ready and we have the muscle to do it.
Great. Thank you very much for the detailed explanations.
You're welcome, Ivan.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andres Cuello from Scotiabank.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. To be honest, I find the guidance on video a little bit aggressive because obviously we saw disconnections during the fourth quarter and we saw a significant slowdown in pay TV additions during the second and third quarter. So I have a question that I guess that many of your subscribers are asking themselves. Why, it's a very direct question, but hopefully you can give us some color. Why would I want to pay 219 pesos per month for your pay TV service when I can pay 60 pesos to Amazon Prime Video in Mexico, or I can pay 100 pesos to Netflix and get some of the world's best programming? Why do you think that customers will retain their pay TV subscription when they can have online options that are very competitive, very good? And if you're so optimistic on 2017 in actually growing again your subscriber base in pay TV after the disconnection and the slowdown that we saw in 2016, is that the product, is that the result of lower churn, meaning that you are going to retain your customers, or is that the result of actually trying to grow gross additions?
Yes, Andres. Okay, let me tell you the first part. I do agree we have an aggressive video guideline. It is above the 4.8 that we have this year. Without considering the fourth quarter, our growth should be 7 or 8% for 2016. We believe that the changes we're doing in terms of more retention and at the same time being more selective on the campaigns can pay off by the second quarter and second half of the year. What we're doing right there is we're selecting areas and markets where we can have the most growth and don't be so aggressive in all the territories where they don't pay. It was paying really good for the company until third quarter last year. We start feeling third quarter and fourth quarter that the economy, more than the change of programming, that the economy makes us slow down in that part with a higher churn in some areas. We detect that and we correct that. Of course, that doesn't mean it's going to be solved in the first 1 week or 2 weeks. It takes to adapt the sales force and the customer care people to retain that area. Also, we create new bundle packages in the triple play that comes with the conversion of standard to HD, and also our bundling in the upper economic level. That those are the ones attracted by Netflix and Amazon. We create the XView platform on the TV with HD, with all the content coming from the best programmers that are in the industry. I don't agree too much with what you are saying. We have more content in terms of what it is provided by all our partners, Viacom, HBO, Fox. We have agreements with all of them to provide their content inside the TV. We are also talking to OTT players. We haven't closed anything and haven't decided. But if you look at our user interface that can go across all the platforms, either it's video, broadband, or telephony, you can have only one user interface with one single way to get into the system with profiles per person in the home, in the phone, or outside. you can have access to 5,000, 6,000, and by the end of the year, 8,000 metro Wi-Fi hotspots across. You have the customer care that we have and our broadband flight on the park. So the whole combination, we believe, can get us there. Also, we have a really good segmentation. What we're expecting, as we say in the ARPUs, is to increase video subscribers at the end with lower packages to penetrate and compensate the economic in selective areas, but higher and mid-economic levels with HD and XView that can compensate the output video and remain at the same time. So I know I got talked too much, but you know, everything is in my mind on that part. I think we can make the 8%. You know, we have no doubt in all the service, and we'll do the best to get it, you know. Hopefully we can do it.
Let me ask you a technological question. Is it possible for the subscribers of your new technologies to, for example, watch a program, say a program in Fox or Warner, that was transmitted previously? Can I watch that on an on-demand basis? Meaning, if I want to watch a series by HBO, for example, that was transmitted, say, last week, could I actually demand that specific program in my TV, or is it like a digital platform where I can watch the channels, but it's still linear television?
No, it's both, Enric. Our product does include, and the great part that we have with the user-friendly test that we have in the market. I mean, we're ready to launch. I mean, we're very, very, very ahead of the project. The usage that people have in their homes of the non-linear program is incredible. People like to reverse the guide. People like to go to the menu instead to go to the guide, and they like to go to the new releases of all those series. And our search platform can look into series and can tell you whether it's HBO or it's Sony or it's Universal or it's Fox, and you can do search by actor, by year, by movie, by everything you want. So it's a very enriched platform, and also you can watch that in the OTT platform that we have and the phone. So we believe that product is targeted to the new generation of people that want to watch the nonlinear. We also have content coming from several sources. We buy, we acquire, and we have the right to provide. Whether we go direct to the studios or we have the right from the linear channels to provide that rolling four, what we call the rolling four or rolling five, I don't know if you're familiar, of the full stack of the series. That means you can have the 10 episodes or you can have the last 5 episodes on your platform, or you can have 48 hours to go back to the guide. All those programs, we have it on a selective basis by content, by programmer, and that's what we're providing to the subscriber. Also, we went straight to the studios, like I said, and we bought series, and we bought movies, and we bought kids. So we target to all the different segments of the market. Next time you're here, you know, I would love to show you a platform. You will be impressed. Also, the speed of the change of the channel, you know, is one of our great advantages too. You know, it's really, you can really not perceive when you change a channel and you do stuff from one to the other one, and you would go to the guy, or you retrieve a video in your home. It's really, really, really fast because we have a good CDN, and we have a good network, and we have a good service and good technology in that part. I don't know how
okay.
deep you want.
Yeah. No, just one last clarification. So what you're saying is that as a subscriber, I can access obviously linear television, and separately you have a library of content that includes series and movies and like a Netflix like product. But we're talking about separate things, because I guess it's separate licenses for you, right? I mean, the linear channels live on advertising, they live on programming fees. So what I'm saying is, if I want to watch a program that was transmitted, say, on Channel 2 or whatever, last week, I can probably record that, but it's going to have advertising, it's going to have, like, the traditional linear linear format. And if I want to access a series on your OTT library, then it's a separate license for you. See, I don't know if you know what I mean. It's not that I will search for a program that was transmitted last week on linear and I will watch it as if it was OTT. I still have to watch it on a linear basis.
You are partially correct, Andres. There are some rights per programmer or per content to provide the rolling forward. That means if you have the last four episodes that were watched on the linear channel, you can provide that on non-linear channels. You can also go back in the guides in certain linear channels, not in all of them. You can, and of course, the full stack of the season will go and will buy it. When we announce a new release on our platform, the release says, hey, go to this new series that we acquired from the studio and you can watch the full season of the series. So we have a mixture. You cannot, it's not a straight like you say. We have rights for a lot of the content on a non-linear basis coming from our partners. And every year, that content will be more released in our platforms as a part of the migration to linear to non-linear in the whole industry.
Yeah, and finally, what percentage of your video customers already have this technology?
Very few. Very few. We've been offering VOD services and TV VOD services in the legacy platform. That means an old user interface and a very limited amount of video to provide on an old technology. It was not IP technology on the network. Now it's fully IP in all the platforms. So right now we don't have that many because we're launching the product, which is called the X-View, and it's launching really, really soon.
Okay, well, thanks so much for the call, Raimundo.
No, you're welcome. Hopefully next conference we will be talking a lot about perception and people and the content and the experience and that part, not from the FUC, but more on the real life. And the reason also, Andres, is because we migrate all the technology to this new platform because we wanted to have what you're looking for, which is a non-linear experience across the different devices, you know, which runs fast, with high quality, and can match the needs of the new generation of people. Can also adapt as will be, meaning if we wanted to do a deal with HBO Go, or we wanted to do a deal with Netflix, and we wanted to include that on the TV, or we want to include, as you said, Amazon, we have the possibility, according to the set-top boxes of the platform, to run those apps in the future to come. We're going to launch without the app, but we're going to launch with the content of all the linear channels that they have in the app. Let me explain you. If we have ESPN Play, if we have Sony, if we have Warner, if we have MTV, we have Universal, we have HBO, we have Fox, our search engine looks into all the apps and goes for the content and play the content in their app, but our subscriber will look for that in the non-linear manner and will record that in our TV because we have the rights from them for that content that they have in the app. So we don't have 100%, but we have a great percentage of the content for our subscribers. So believe me, it's going to be... We're very happy for that. We're very excited for that.
Phenomenal. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Legareta from GBM.
Hi, good morning. Thank you guys for the call. Okay, so allow me to go back to the cash flow statement, please. So for the full year, I'm seeing the income tax line is basically at zero. So I would like to understand that because in the P&L, I mean, that number is definitely it's $845 million. So and if I think of 2015, the cash tax rate that you guys paid, at least against the operating profit, was somewhat around 18%. So it seems that you guys have been, having a very favorable tax in terms of cash. So I want to know what's the origin of this and what can we expect going forward? I mean, how sustainable is to have a low tax rate or cash tax rate for Mega? That's the first question, please.
Sure. Sure, Carlos. And yes, we had a rate of about 18% for 2016. And our expectation is that it will go a little bit up on 2017, of course. It, mm-hmm. It, we are targeting that about more of 20% tax rate for 2017. And this is basically because of the deferred taxes benefits that we had during 2016 and prior that we are really taking some benefit on these years. But if, as we move on, year over year, we'll reduce, and that's why we expect that to go up a little bit.
Okay, perfect. That's very clear. So regarding other items, in the corporate segment, so I want to go back to that. Very recently, Telmex, I think, in January, came out with different or lower packages for small businesses. So I believe they include Double Play plus cloud services for up to 200 megabytes. I'm wondering how negative could this be for Metrocarrier's or MCM's business going forward? And also, in that same line, in the corporate segment, so the breakdown that you provided for the CapEx, the 45% for the GPE, does that include this segment, or you only refer to household? Because then I'm not understanding where do you guys put the CapEx regarding the corporate segment. Thank you.
Let me answer the first part, and then I'll let Luis probably answer the second one, the part of the CAPEX. The SMB, you know, is different in Mexico than in the U.S. What we consider the small and micro segment is not included in our results of the Metro Carrier. That part, that small segment with a small ARPU that is included in our massive market, we call it that. Metro Carrier goes to mid and large enterprises. Of course, our mid enterprises will be the small enterprises of the U.S. in that area. We are very aware of the offers that are in the market for Metro Carrier. We compete and we bid for all the different options that there are there, whether it's government or corporate, with different companies. Now, whether it's Bestel, Axtel, Telmex, or Total Play, Maxim even, if there is, we know each other in the market. Now we're very well recognized, like probably one of the top of them to compete. We won Mexico Conectado, and we have won several government licenses on that part. We don't see Telmex, it is a serious competition. We have dealt with them in the past, and we have a great network to take advantage of, whether it's interurban or last mile, and where I really believe that 2017 will continue to grow Metro Carrier and OLA at a high speed, not as high as the 55 that we have in the past because we have the CPE contract, but it will represent still a high growth for those areas. With also the new cities that we have. We are competing head-to-head, and our product is very competitive because of the advantage that we have of our fiber in the last mile. In terms of the new offer, we compete with Megacable empresas, Megacable small businesses, and our offer is a lot better because of the bandwidth that we're providing to them. We have a strong offer that goes from 25 megabits to 100 megabits to the business with four digital lines, and also if they want, we provide video in that business, whether it's a restaurant or not. So our product is okay. We feel comfortable. We continue to grow the micro business as well in that part, and we have a good share of the market competing head-to-head with Telmex on that part. And that
related to the CPE of MetroCarrier and those. It is included on the CPE, but I don't know, Luis, if you want to clarify more about that.
Right. For MetroCarrier, every part of the network that has been built for MetroCarrier is part of what we call the modernization or growth of our cable network. So that is already included there. Any equipment for Wi-Fi services will be on the PCE equipment that we are counting. So, yes, the short answer is it's already there.
That's very clear and helpful. Thank you. And finally, if I may, so regarding I think I have to get back to you on this. Thank you.
Okay, don't worry. Anytime, no problem.
Anytime.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rodrigo Villanueva from Merrill Lynch.
Thank you. Good morning. Can you hear me well?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, Raimundo, and Luis. My first question is related to the corporate segment. We know that there was an important project with the CFE that is coming to an end, as you already have around 87% completion. So I was wondering if there is a new project that would substitute revenues from this one, and if you could give us more color on what you're expecting in terms of growth for corporate segment revenues. That would be my first question.
Sure, Rodrigo. We're expecting a corporate segment, correctly, Luis, around 17-18% growth for next year, mainly driven by MetroCarrier and MTN because of the connectivity business that we're having there. OLA will take the down of the CFE project, if you call it that way, but I don't want to blow the whistle in that part, but we do have projects, all a list of projects. CPE was a very big and large project for the size of OLA. But we're looking to new projects to go there. We have some coming in the funnel, funnel meaning, you know, all the projects that are close to and in the process to be close as a contract. We have some coming from government, some federal government, some coming from large corporates. Of course, I cannot release you where are we and what details do we have on that part. But, you know, we expect MetroCarrier to grow 50% pretty much what we have right now. And then all MTM and the rest will remain the rest of the revenue growth that we have for 2017. So you can count on a 16 to 17%. Maybe you have the straight numbers.
No, you're right, Raimundo. That's basically our expectation. And we are also, as you know, you have to keep in mind that we are part of Altan, and that is a project that is just about to be, you know, launched. And we are...
Red Compartida.
Right. Altan Red Compartida. And that is not already included in the guidance, so that will, you know, boost our numbers if we, you know, achieve projects and you know, the it is very likely that we get some of the projects coming to the Red Compartida implementation on the MetroCarrier piece. So we are very optimistic about what's going to be the future in 2017 for the corporate.
But understood. Thank you very much, Raymond and Luis. And my second question is related to content costs. As far as we know, you had around 1.9 billion pesos in content costs in 2015. I was wondering if you could share the amount for 2016 and what do you expect for 2017? Thank you.
Okay. Well, related to costs, like you know, we have an improving margins for the fourth quarter. And you will have that benefit the company for 2017. What we have done in terms of content cost is negotiate with all the providers to have provisions on the depreciation. We've been successful with some. We haven't been successful with the other ones. In terms of general, we can tell you where we have, we feel we have a good position for them. And of course, if you consider the movement that we make in the channel lineup with the exclusion of the Televisa channel for the fourth quarter, that was done, that decision was done at that time at 17 pesos, 16, 17 pesos per dollar. You know, if we are at 1950 or the pressure that we have at the beginning of the year at 21.75, well, it proved to be a very, very good decision for us and a necessary decision in terms of what we have at that time. So without telling you all the details about programming, we're going to have less pressure and we have some releasing margins for this coming year. You can see the margins that we have and the cost of programming of the fourth quarter, and you can target that to the 2017, or it is included in the guidance that we gave you.
Right.
So that's where we have the safe of cost of programming.
Right. And Rodrigo, remember that we cannot disclose the detail because of the agreement we have with Televisa. So.
And other
programmers. So basically, you can add up and make your numbers. Just consider that part of the savings you saw in the fourth quarter came, or the majority came from programming. But there was also savings, or there were savings coming from the lowest, effort in terms of sales commissions and also the drop cost that came from the number. The lower number of additions that we had in the fourth quarter. So it's a mix there, but you can make up some numbers based on fourth quarter results.
And the majority, or we can tell you the majority of the content, it is peso denominated.
Right. The exposure we have now is between 12 or around 12-13% of our total cost or expenses are now denominated in U.S. dollars. So That's also something overall.
Thank you for the very detailed answer. Just to have this clear, Raimundo and Luis, so 12-13% of consolidated costs, correct? Not of video costs.
That's correct. That's correct. It's of the total company.
Right, considering all the broadband costs, considering maintenance costs, that is also U.S. dollars. So that's what we're talking about.
And that includes content, which, as I said, the majority we have denominated in pesos already, you know, but it's above that 13% that we have exposure in dollars.
Understood. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Roberto Garcia from Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call, and thank you for all the very detailed answers you have given so far. I have a follow-up on the growth in the enterprise segment. It's a pretty healthy revenue growth that you are guiding for. Can you talk about what sort of margin we should expect for the segment? You mentioned that you're expecting around 42% EBITDA margin for the consolidated results. So I guess this is pretty similar to what we had in the fourth quarter. Should this be the case for the full year 17 as well?
Yeah, remember that there are different companies in this enterprise or different business units, and you have to look at them separately. If you go to PCTV, for example, of course, you can expect margin of 30% there. That is a 5% margin that you have to consider. PCTV is really more a pass-through company and a savings company. But you look into then Metro Carrier and MCM, those companies should be around 25 to 30% margin. And then OLA is based on the project. There's a lot of equipment that is involved in the project that we are talking. So you cannot have margins in selling products in selling products the same as you have for other contracts. So there's a mix. That's where we think we will be. So it's in a range of 30 on one side and then 20 to 15 on the other side with all that. And then the overall mix, that's why we are reaching on the 42% that we are putting in our guidance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
and
yeah,
then,
you can take a picture from the Q4 and then make a future statement for that.
Okay, that's very clear. And then regarding CapEx, can you give us a sense of what is the breakdown between the cable operations and the corporate, OLA and MCM and the rest? How is the $240 million split? And does that include any potential investments that could take place this year for the Red Compartida project?
Yes. In terms of the CapEx, it is included in what we have right now on the $240 million that we are forecasting. It does include the actual growth of our corporate and massive market. In terms of Red Compartida, we still don't have the whole picture of the revenues that we would provide. Therefore, we still don't have the picture of the CapEx that we will need. What we can tell you is that we cannot release too much of what we're doing over there. Red Compartida is working as a great project. We're very happy to be part of that. But more than that, we're very happy to be a supplier of that new network that is coming. Over there, we're working 24 hours in Mexico City in their offices to be and to be part of this project and to be awarded the last miles in all the cities where we are. It is a very interesting project for us, and it will require capital, but it will be tied to the revenues that we will have. So for our guidance and to be meaningful in the numbers, we are forecasting a decrease in capital from 260 3 million to 240, pretty much, and that's done because that's done without slowing down any necessary investment in corporate on residential. It is done for growth in CPEs and customer equipment for both segments, again residential and corporate, and it does include the operator of the network to provide services in the cities where I told you, and in our existing cities, for the both segments. So you will see those numbers around that area for 2017. And, you know, if we have something related to Red Compartida, maybe we can discuss that by second quarter or when we are, you know, when we have something already set with them. Right now we're in the bidding process like anybody else on that part, and we are very active to be the award company for that contract.
But and sometimes the investment on the network, it's really for the benefit of the both segments, so corporate and also residential. So that's why we don't have a detailed breakdown to the final cent in terms of which CapEx investment was for Metro Carrier and what was for the massive market CapEx. But basically, that's mixed in the number.
And probably, you know, if we want to talk detail on that part, we can look for that and tell it. It's something that we look into the details every time here in Tijuana in the company. But like Luis said, the synergies are a lot, and that's why it makes us be really efficient. And, you know, if you have more, you want more details on that part, we can give you a call and tell you a little bit more how we operate on that, but it is included.
Okay, great. That's very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Arturo Langa from Itaú BBA.
Good morning, Enrique, Raimundo, Luis. Thank you. Just two questions, and the first one is maybe from a top-level discussion. How would you see the industry evolving in terms of market concentration and service convergence? Do you see...
Since our line is disconnected, we'll go ahead with the next questioner. Our next question will come from Harris Bookman from Park West.
I had one follow-up. Sorry, I didn't get it earlier. On churn, I was encouraged to see it come down in broadband and telephone, but I don't think I remember hearing you guys talk about what you thought churn could get to in the three segments and where you wanted it to be.
Sure. Let me see.
Yeah, we... Churn. Luis, you have the number of it.
Yeah, the figures for the churn that we expect on 2017. Right. We think in video we will go back to 3.0. We were 3.8 on Q4. We think that for the full year we will be on the 3.0 churn on a monthly basis. On internet, we expect to reach 3.3, and on telephony, we will be around 5 to 5.5. Basically, that's what we have included in our guidance.
And we're going to achieve that, like I said, with the much more we have already beginning to do that. We are selecting areas where we can be aggressive and other ones where we cannot. We're not the only one. We have seen that with other companies too, where we won't be and provide months for free and promotions that will increase part of our churn. Part of our churn comes from the aggressive campaigns. So we're much more restrictive in what customers are we approving to come to the company in that part, because the model changed with the economic situation. We felt that the disposable income in the lower economic levels of the parts we want to grow, we need to be more selective and more efficient. And the other one is we have a strong campaign of retaining customers to offering them what they really need, both in video, broadband. And telephony is different. Telephony might seem, and it seems like a really high churn, but that churn includes the people that dropped the service because they didn't use it after the promotion that we provide to them, because we bundle the service between telephony and broadband. So far, the last 2 quarters, churn of telephony decreased, and we expect that to decrease from 6 point something to 5.5. If I can recall that Luis mentioned to you. So those are the numbers that we have for churn.
Got it. And what about long-term? I mean, where do you want the churn to go given the current pricing?
We expect that to decrease. We expect churn to decrease as long as we approach mature levels of penetration. We should be much more less aggressive in campaigns and dedicated more to customer retention and to provide upgraded services to those customers, whether it's the new generation of HD, whether it's the next generation of video, whether it's HBO, Netflix, or it's upgraded to 100 and 200 megabits. That's where we will be focusing the years to come in that segment. You know. All markets have a level of penetration. Still, we have a lot of room to grow in the three segments. In that part, telephony is not growing. The segment of telephony is stable. It's not going to grow. The market is not growing. But we have a lot of market share to grow in that part. Broadband and video, broadband being the main driver, and video a little bit slower than broadband in that part, and switching, but
broadband will be the driver of a triple play package that we have there. Once we approach that, we will be strongly dedicated to customer retention. I can tell you that if you deduct the customers that disconnect from the company in the first couple of months or 3 or 4 months, coming from people that wanted the product, that can afford to have the product, and that you deduct that from the churn, we have a very manageable churn for Latin America, let's call it that way. So we will be much more restricted on the increase of sales and much more aggressive in the retention of the customer on aftermarket basis. That doesn't apply to all the markets. We have markets where our penetration can give us growth, and we will continue to be aggressive like we were in the past, and some other markets where we need to be much more selective, and that's part of our strategy for 2017, close to the new products we're launching.
Got it. And this is a longer-term question, but if your EBITDA keeps growing at anywhere near the rates that it's growing, you know, I'm sure it'll slow down at some point, and your CapEx is actually going down, you guys are just going to be spitting off a ton of cash. And what do you think you're going to do with it?
That's a good question.
Well, we have a clear path where we want to go. I mean, as long as we can grow the company and invest, you know, we will be growing the company with the excess cash. And we will dedicate some of that cash also to dividends, as we have done in the past years. We our dividend policy is about 15% of the total EBITDA of the company. But last year, I think, it was 20% because we had an excess cash. We don't know yet what's going on, but I think that at least it's going to be a 15% cash dividend of the EBITDA. Obviously, if that in the future, you know, it's the excess cash is larger, we might, you know, increase the dividend. We don't know. That's a matter of the shareholder family and the board. But obviously, they are very reasonable, and we think that they will take the right decisions for that.
Got it. I have no axe to grind at this point. I'm just curious to hear your thoughts. I realize that having this good balance sheet is a competitive advantage for you because you guys can invest in your network, but at some point, the undercapitalization just becomes, or the overcapitalization.
Yeah, we know. And, well, I don't know if there's going to be some more M&A in Mexico, and we got to be ready for that. If not, then we'll decide what to do. Okay?
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andre Baggio from J.P. Morgan.
Hi, I have two questions. The first one, actually, can you just remind me, I could not hear you well when you talk about guidance. I hear some 8% PTV growth and a $240 million CapEx. Is this correct? And can you add the broadband growth?
Yes, the guidance for CapEx in 2017 is around $240 million. That's our guidance.
Okay. And the growth rate for broadband?
For broadband, the growth rate is 17%.
Around 17%, yeah.
And voice between 20% and 21%. And video around 8%.
Perfect. Okay. My final question is that can you talk about how is going the competitive environment with AMX, but not on the corporate, but on the retail side, on the broadband? Like, how aggressive is AMX building a better network or one that can compete with HFC or GPON?
Well, we've been having competition in all the segments already for a long time, whether it's satellite or it's Telmex in terms of broadband. We have competition also from other companies, six line companies like Axtel TV, Total Play, Easy in some markets where we compete. we have other cable companies. So we're used to competition in that area. We feel that as a company and product offering, we are the best standing out right now. We have a strong network, the best cost effective or product related in the market. You know, we have the best rates in the market with a good financial structure, a good presence nationwide. So if you look at what Maxcom TV, Axtel TV, or other companies, we are the one that continue to grow. We have companies coming from Total Play. Total Play increased presence in some of the markets, and is a serious competitor too. But so far we managed to compete and to continue to grow. And the way we see it, they are not growing anymore right now in terms of kilometers, and we're competing in some of the markets with them. And we're used to that part. In terms of broadband, it will come from Total Play and Telmex, and ourselves, we don't see. And again, our network has GPON where it needs to be GPON, and it has the right node size at 1 gigabit that can be provided with. Remember that we are fully digital, so if you are very familiar with the technology, we have the full spectrum of the DOCSIS to provide maximum capacity where we are at the capex that we are investing. So what we foresee is a strong competition in that part, but we feel probably in this landscape we might be one of the best standing up.
Okay, muchas gracias.
You're welcome, Andre.
Thank you. Next question comes from Carlos Lagareta from GBL.
Thank you. Sorry about earlier. Just very quickly, and I don't know if you're disclosing this, but what is the exchange rate that you guys are assuming for the year in the average?
Yeah, for sure. We included in our budget 21.50, but of course, you know, it looks good one day, it looks bad the following day, but in average, we use 21.50.
Thank you. That's perfect.
Thank you. At this time, we have no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back over to Mr. Yamuni for closing remarks.
Okay. We are quite pleased to conclude our 2006 year the way we did. Looking ahead, 2017 will mostly like to bring its own set of challenges, some of which some we expect and some will be new challenges that we will face. So I'm confident that we are in the solid position to take on whatever comes and continue our path of growth. Megacable has always demonstrated the ability to maintain the growth and keep the confidence of our shareholders. Thank you very much, and we'll see you in the next conference. Any other questions that you may have, you know, our mails and phone numbers, and we'll be glad to answer them anytime. Thank you very much, and Luis Fernando.
Thank you. Nothing more to say. It's been a great conference. Thank you for your time and the care you have for the company. It's been a really, really productive and nice chat we have with you guys.